Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Rise of Germany, Hall, 1939-1941. The War in the West by James Holland is a focused narrative of how Nazi Germany achieved a rapid string of victories at the start of the Second World War, reshaping Europe before the conflict widened into a global struggle. Covering the opening campaigns from 1939 into 1941, the book examines the political calculations, military doctrine, and battlefield realities behind German success, especially against opponents who often expected a repeat of the trench-bound stalemate of the First World War. Holland, known for writing accessible military history, frames events through the interaction of strategy, logistics, air power, leadership culture, and the experiences of soldiers and civilians. Rather than treating early German triumphs as inevitable, the story highlights contingency, misjudgment, and the uneven performance of all combatants. The result is a clear account of how momentum was created and sustained in the West, and why that apparent dominance carried within it the seeds of future difficulties. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from crisis to conflict, the strategic setting of 1939, a key theme is how Europe moved from political crisis to full-scale war, and why Germany was prepared to take decisive risks. The book situates early operations within Hitler's aims, the limits of German resources, and the uneasy balance between ideology and pragmatic military planning. It emphasizes that German confidence did not rest only on bravado, but on hard choices about where to concentrate strength, how to exploit speed, and how to keep opponents off balance diplomatically and militarily. At the same time, the Allied powers faced their own constraints, including domestic politics, memories of the previous war, and competing priorities between defending territories and preserving forces. Holland explores how these pressures shaped early decisions, such as assumptions about what kind of war was coming and how quickly it could be won or contained. The topic also underscores that the opening phase of war was not a smooth, pre-written script. Misreading the enemy, overestimating static defenses, and hesitating at the wrong moments created openings. By clarifying the pre-war and early wartime setting, the book helps readers understand why 1939 became the launchpad for astonishing operational outcomes in 1940 and beyond. Secondly, operational shock speed, initiative, and the fall of the West. The central military question the book addresses is how Germany achieved operational shock against Western opponents, most dramatically in the 1940 campaigns. Holland presents German success as the product of tempo, initiative at multiple command levels, and a willingness to exploit fleeting opportunities. Rather than portraying Blitzkrieg as a single magic formula, he highlights a combination of factors: coordinated movement, flexible command habits, concentrated armored thrusts, and the capacity to adapt when plans met friction. The narrative pays close attention to how breakthroughs were turned into collapse, with mobile forces pushing deep and disrupting communications, supply, and morale. Equally important is how Allied responses struggled to match the pace of events. The book shows how confusion, rigid planning, and delayed decision-making amplified German advantages, even when defenders had capable troops and equipment. Holland also examines the human experience of rapid warfare, where units could be cut off, orders became outdated within hours, and local leaders had to improvise under pressure. This topic explains why the West, which many assumed would be a fortified and methodical front, instead became the stage for swift, cascading defeats that altered the strategic map of Europe. Thirdly, air power and combined arms multiplying battlefield effects. Another major topic is the role of air power and the broader idea of combined arms in enabling German advances. Holland details how aircraft could shape battle far beyond simple dogfights, through reconnaissance, interdiction, close support, and psychological impact. He explores how effective air-ground cooperation helped German forces locate weak points, strike movement corridors, and pressure defenders at critical moments. The result was often a sense of constant threat that degraded cohesion, disrupted logistics, and made orderly withdrawals harder. Importantly, the book does not treat air power as automatically decisive. It highlights limitations such as weather, range, mechanical reliability, and the difficulty of hitting dispersed targets. It also considers how defenders adapted when they had the warning, organization, and communications to do so. Within combined arms, Holland stresses that success required more than tanks and planes. Artillery, engineers, infantry, and signals units all mattered in converting a penetration into sustained operational depth. The topic helps readers see early war outcomes as the cumulative effect of systems working together rather than any single wonder weapon. It also clarifies why forces that could coordinate across domains gained disproportionate advantages during fast-moving campaigns. Fourthly, leadership culture, morale, and the reality of fighting. Holland devotes attention to leadership culture and morale as practical drivers of battlefield performance. The book considers how command structures, training expectations, and the tolerance for decentralized initiative affected outcomes in moments of chaos. German units often benefited when junior leaders acted quickly without waiting for perfect information, while opponents sometimes suffered from chains of command that slowed adaptation. Yet the topic is not presented as a simple story of superior will. Holland highlights the unevenness inside all armies, showing how exhaustion, fear, confusion, and casualties shaped what formations could realistically do. Morale appears not as a slogan, but as a fragile resource dependent on supply, rest, clear purpose, and confidence in leadership. The narrative also acknowledges civilians and the broader atmosphere of war, including dislocation, occupation, and the psychological weight of sudden defeat. By grounding operational events in human experience, the book gives readers a sharper understanding of why some positions crumbled while others held longer than expected. This topic is especially valuable because it explains how large-scale outcomes emerged from countless small decisions made under pressure, when the boundary between competence and breakdown could be measured in minutes and miles. Lastly, Victory with Vulnerabilities: Why Early Dominance Did Not Guarantee Long-Term Success. The book also explores the paradox of German early war dominance. The same methods that delivered rapid victories could create strategic and logistical vulnerabilities. Holland examines how fast advances strained supply lines, wore down vehicles, and demanded constant replenishment of fuel, ammunition, and trained manpower. The more spectacular the operational tempo, the more it depended on systems that were not limitless. He connects these realities to broader strategic choices, including how Germany managed occupied territories, allocated resources, and planned for the next phase of war. Another dimension is the problem of overconfidence. Early success could encourage leaders to believe that opponents would always collapse quickly, narrowing strategic imagination and discounting the possibility of prolonged attritional conflict. Holland shows that early campaigns produce lessons, but they also produced illusions. Even in the West, German forces encountered resistance that exposed limits in coordination, intelligence, and endurance, and these limits mattered when the war scale expanded. This topic helps readers understand the period 1939 to 1941 not only as a story of ascent, but as a foundation for future challenges. By highlighting the costs and constraints behind apparent triumph, the book offers a more mature explanation of why early victories did not equal inevitable final victory. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want a clear, story-driven understanding of how Germany gained the upper hand in the early Second World War, especially those interested in the campaigns in the West and in why events moved so quickly. It is also valuable for students of strategy who want to connect high-level decisions to what actually happened on roads, in the air, and inside command posts. The main benefit is perspective. By tracing how speed, coordination, morale, and logistics interacted, the book helps readers think more accurately about how complex systems succeed or fail under pressure, a lesson that translates to modern leadership, risk assessment, and planning. It is worth buying compared to similar books because it balances operational narrative with attention to human and organizational factors, avoiding the trap of treating early German success as either pure genius or pure luck. Instead, it presents a layered explanation that includes both Allied missteps and German strengths, along with the hidden weaknesses that accompanied rapid conquest. Readers come away with a grounded sense of why the West fell as it did, and why those victories, while dramatic, were not a permanent solution to Germany's deeper strategic problems. If you would like to support James Holland, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.